I know you've been shoveling. Here's the good news, though. We have now satisfied our average annual snowfall requirement. Yeah, we're done for the year. Well, maybe.
Greetings and welcome back.
It's Monday.
Are you ready for an exciting and challenging day?
You bet. You can't wait.
Yeah. Let's talk about your show.
Okay.
Let me start at the beginning.
Give me an hour on the mic. I'll show you how it's done.
Honestly, love you or loathe you, just as long as they keep listening.
Right. Bad radio, which is what you're describing right now.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Have a good show.
It's showtime.
Indeed it is. Everybody made it in. Well, everybody that has an air shift made it in. Not so much for the sales yummies. I mean, the account executives, they're all working from home today. Right. Got the popcorn there. Kicked back, watching Judge Judy. You calling those accounts? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're on the phone with those accounts 24/7, 365. We're just... Yeah, phone is constantly ringing here. Yeah, that's true, though. We have already reached our average annual snowfall officially in Greenfield from the National Weather Service, and where it's measured at the airport. Our average annual snowfall is 3 inches. And I think, you know, unless you're in the real southern extremes, down towards Newberry or southern parts of Anderson County, you probably met the annual requirement. I know we did in Taylor's. There was a text message in earlier that had some official totals. Greenville, from the Greer National Weather Service, the airport. Greenville County, outside of the highest of elevations, Taylor's. Guess who lives there? Taylor's was tops, 6 inches. We didn't get quite that much at Stately McLean Manor. I think we got probably between 3.5 and 4. But it was that icy, slushy stuff. You know, it wasn't like my baby doll Brenda said. You know, it's not like last year when, you know, in January, when we got that nice, white, fluffy powder. Made you want to drag out your skis. No, we got the icy, sluggish stuff. And it was a mess. I decided to leave early, give myself plenty of time to get in to the radio station today. You know, if you're going to make a mistake, make it on the side of caution, right? So I left the house a little bit after noon, and it usually only takes me 15 minutes to get here. But I wanted to allow plenty of time, and the streets were, you know, sloppy, but they were passable, and everybody was actually driving like they halfway had some sense. Which was good. Nobody was blazing along, you know, at 65, you know, on the surface streets. And so I decided to stop at Mickey's and grab a burger before I came in. So I'm standing in line, and this is like 12:30 now, and the place is packed. The one on Woodruff Road, over by the mall, not the mall, but Shops at Greenridge on the other side from Shops at Greenridge, over where the theater, movie theater, is and all that. So I'm standing in the line, and a woman comes up and says, "Hi, Bob, how you doing?" And we talked for a while. Very nice lady. She's from Pittsburgh and remembered back in the day when I did the morning show at 13Q up there. So we talked about North Hills, where I used to live. And so then I got my Big Mac, naturally, and sat down, and I'm scarfing that down, and I'm on the cell phone and looking at Drudge and Fox News and a bunch of doing some show prep. You know, I'm multitasking. And as I'm getting ready to go, a nice gentleman goes by and says, "Hi, Bob, listen to your show every day. I love it." And I said, "Thank you very much." And it reminded me, you remember Moneypenny a few years ago? I guess it's been, holy cow, this has been 4 or 5 years ago now, when we had our station Christmas party and the Cinecrappy gave out a bunch of awards. With the printed certificate and framed and the whole nine yards. You don't remember this? And the award that I got was most likely to be recognized in an airport. And today kind of reminded me of that. And the reason that happened is because we were going, this, it must have been at least 4 years ago, because it's when I still wore my executive hat, when I was still operations manager, before I gave up, you know, the suit. And just started doing nothing but the show. And we were going for a big corporate programming meeting in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And we're in the airport here, and we're all taking the same flights. And I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to somebody, and somebody comes up to me and says, excuse me, aren't you Bob McLean? So the guys all got a laugh out of that. So we get to Detroit to change planes, and again, we're sitting in the little, you know, waiting area to board the plane. Same thing. Somebody comes in Detroit, comes in, aren't you Bob McLean? Yes. Yeah. We get to Minneapolis. Same thing happens. Like there and back. Minneapolis Airport, Detroit Airport, and here. So that was the genesis of the Centicropy coming up with the most likely to be recognized in an airport. Well, I guess now I'll have to take a magic marker and add to it, or in a Mickey D's on a snow day. So there you go. Okay, Bob, on the text line. Okay, Bob, go ahead and brag about how great life was for you with your generator. Some of us on fixed incomes simply don't have the money to spend on that luxury, so go ahead and promote your sponsor. Yeah, Carolina Generators. That's where that came from. It ran for, I think, maybe 5 hours. 1 a.m. Sunday until like 5 or 6 a.m. Sunday, and then power's back on. Duke Energy got it back up pretty quick.
That is why I love where my house is.
Yeah,
I am
one of the only houses
that is hooked to the fire department.
Yeah, you're right. You're right next to the firehouse.
I'm about 3 blocks away from it.
And even if it goes out, guess who's numero uno on the list to have their power restored?
I think the longest it's ever been out is 3 hours.
Yeah.
A transponder blew at the fire department, and they replaced it within 3 hours.
See, there you go. Because if you're next to the firehouse, next to the cop shop, next to a hospital, you know, then you're good to go.
It flickered, which means I had to set the microwave and the stove timer, but it never went out.
Yeah, we did have to reset it. It was funny. We had to reset a couple of the clocks, but not all of them.
Right.
That's weird. Ba-ba-bum. Bobby, please let your listeners know Bullis Hardware Store in Spartanburg has kerosene heaters and kerosene containers making special trips to the warehouse because there are so many people without power. What was the last number that we had, Moneypenny? I think it was 3,300. Greenville County, we're still without power. Duke Energy sends us emails and keeps us current, keeps us apprised of the total, but I haven't looked at it in the last couple hours. And, of course, supposed to get very cold tonight. Yeah, the cloudiness and the overcast is supposed to move out overnight. And with clear skies, we're going to get, as a recovering meteorologist, and it was what we call radiational cooling. That is, whatever heat the Earth had stored up during the day. And there's not much today. We got in the 40s. But it's all going to escape towards Mars or towards the stars. Bob, just a heads up, but as soon as you come into Pickens County on Saluda Dam Road, there's a big tree hanging across the road, and there's only one lane. Gotcha. Saluda Dam Road, down to one lane. I guess alternating directions then, right? You only got one lane, and you have to have alternating who can go and who can wait. Bobby, wish I could watch Judge Judy or anything. We got about 18 inches of snow, and Spectrum is out. Cliffs at Glassy. Boy, I believe it. I do believe it. And anything else on the text line here? Yeah, Bob, I used to work on a team that went to catastrophe areas. The rule was always to locate our temporary office near a hospital, police station, or fire department. There you go. So we would have power during the extent of the natural disaster. Another natural disaster is former FBI Director James Comey. I didn't realize Comey is 6'8", right? I didn't realize they could stack fertilizer that high. But in his case, I guess it's possible. Yeah, Moneypenny has brought up the Duke Energy map of the current outages, and they're dotted all over the place. Fountain Inn, some in Malden, some in the northern part of Greenville County, and the cliffs, I'm sure, is probably in there as well. Looks like it. and then through western North Carolina as well, right up 85, and then towards Boiling Springs, and I'm sure continuing northward into western North Carolina there as well. So I know they have a lot of crews out. They brought in a ton of people with all the advance world is going to come to an end warnings from Weather Central. People were prepared, I think, this time. Better than perhaps usual. At least this wasn't a little boy cried wolf. This time the tracking was pretty close. 16 after 3 here on the Bobby Mack Show. The latest on James Comey and his testimony Friday. I hesitate to call it testimony because basically James Comey couldn't remember his own name. Where do you live, Mr. Comey? I don't remember. Where'd you go to high school? I don't recall. Did you go to law school? I don't know. That was about it. We'll spell it out for you when we come right back here on the Bobby Mack Show on a snowy Monday afternoon. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 3:22 here on the Bobby Mack Show. I kind of overlooked the point I was going to make about the being recognized in the airport and recognized today at Mickey D's. I always enjoy that when people come up and introduce themselves and say hi. I know that sometimes people are hesitant to do that, you know, a little shy about, you know, well, celebrities, you know, they say, oh, go away. I get to see I'm trying to eat. You know, don't bug me. I want those little people coming around and nagging me while I'm... That is the exact opposite of my reaction. You know, I enjoy talking to folks like that. Anyway, I got kind of sidetracked with all the storytelling to begin the program and forgot to mention, this is how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Just use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number. You may have it already anyway, but it's 800-347-1063. If you want to text me, use the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. That is 71307. And my email address, bob@1063word.com. On the text line, Bobby, don't want to hear about how quickly your power came on. I live on Tigerville Road in Traveler's Rest. No, right where that is, because I'm a member there at Cherokee Valley. And so we go right down Tigerville. Our power has been out for almost 2 days now. I was all over TR today and didn't see one power truck. They can kiss that rate increase goodbye. Well, we'll see. It's up to the legislature. I'm on vacation. Our flight to Vegas was canceled, and for the last 2 days, we've had no power. Wow. Double whammy. Bob, my daughter's house off Scuffletown Road between Jonesville and Lee Vaughn. No power since 11:30 this morning. Bobby, Duke has a special phone line for certain customers that guarantees priority service restoration. I once worked for a TV station with a 3-megawatt transmitter. It was once Duke's biggest customer in the Brevard area. Gotcha. Yeah, they and that number would be, you know, for like LEOs, for firehouses and hospitals and cop shop. Bobby, I bought a generator over 3 months ago after my power went out twice in a rainstorm. And I said, well, I'll be ready this time. Sure enough, the power didn't go out. Yeah, it only goes to prove it. We'll get to this stuff about Comey momentarily, but Lucy in Greenville has been patiently hanging on, waiting to talk to me on this stormy Monday. Hi, Lucy. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. I hope everyone else is as well. We're surviving. Our power went out yesterday morning, and we had a few medical little issues.
Nothing, oh, boy.
Big. But, you know, when you're having to keep a bruised knee iced,
oh,
and you don't have any power, the ice doesn't melt as quick. So there's good in everything.
Yeah, that's true. I know all about icing that knee when I had mine replaced.
Oh, yeah. Well, the reason I told Moneypenny I wanted to call was the other trauma was to waking up this morning with no hot coffee ready because we have an automatic coffee maker my husband programmed.
Right.
So we put on our baseball caps and bundled up and went to the Waffle House. And you talk about an uplifting group of people.
I know it. Yeah.
Those people behind that counter, just everybody was coming in their pajamas and looking like they'd been run over by the Santa's snow sled, whatever.
So it looked it looked like a typical day at Walmart then.
No, it was worse than that.
Worse? Oh, boy.
But those people at the Waffle House they were inundated, and they could not have been more upbeat, more helpful. I mean, it was, I told them they were just a bright star in the cloudy sky.
Yeah, and you know, that's pretty much universal, isn't it? It doesn't matter which one you go to. I guess there's something in their hiring parameters or something, but they seem to hire a bunch of good-natured people.
Well, and we were on the one on Haywood Road.
Yeah.
And they were kidding around with each other. They were harassing each other to step up the pace, that these people needed hot coffee right away.
Got to get their heart started.
Yeah, it was just an incredible experience because I don't ever go there. My husband cheats, and I give him a healthy breakfast in the morning, then he drives to Waffle House.
Gotcha, yeah.
So, anyway, I just thought they needed to have kudos sent their way, and y'all are phenomenal, and I always tell you that, but, hey, it is true, so... Keep up the good work, and if my husband said if I don't quit being on the radio, he's going to have to take my phone privileges away.
Well, you'll have to get one of those devices that changes your voice, you know, so when you call in, it'll disguise your voice, and he won't know that it's you that's calling. Or something.
All right, y'all have a great one.
Thanks, Lucy, you too, and I'm glad that we managed to get in a plug for our friends at Waffle House. They are great. Bob, Rutherford Road and Wade Hampton area still without power. 813 outages in that area is what Duke is now saying. Bobby, my power's been out since 9:30 yesterday morning. Just saw the first power truck about 5 minutes ago. They were looking for the problem. By the way, I am north of Inman. Gotcha. Bobby, has anybody ever told you that you look just like you sound? You know, I don't think so, because a lot of times when I'll meet people, you know, and they have no idea what I looked. I never saw my picture on the Facebook page or on our homepage, our webpage. And I'll ask them, you know, well, now that you see me, does the face match? They're like, nope. You know, I thought you'd be a big fat guy or something, you know. It's funny. And that's universal, because it even happens to people in the business. People who are professional broadcasters, and we do the same thing. We try and visualize what we think the person will look like. Never happen. Miss it every time. Bobby, I buried my snowmobile and my truck in Batcave, North Carolina. I'll go get them when it thaws. Makes sense to me. 3:29 here on the Bobby Mac Show. We'll get on to this stuff about Comey. When we come back on the other side here on the Bobby Mac Show, Snowy Monday edition here on WORD. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 3:36 now, 24 before 4. I hope this snow event has not presented any special hardships for you. I know if the power goes out and you have someone in your household that has a medical device that has to be powered all the time, probably have some kind of backup plan for that, because otherwise, of course, that can present pretty severe problems. In on the text line, now, Bobby, my power has been out I'm sorry, wait a minute. I think I did that one already. Bob, you kind of beat me to it. Heard you mention shoveling, and I was going to say Comey has been shoveling too, but it ain't snow. Yeah, that's correct. Jim Jordan, who was part of the committee that heard the testimony, such as it was, from the former FBI director on Friday, put out a tweet, and I quote it. James Comey, I don't recall 8 times. I don't remember 71 times. I don't know 166 times. This guy doesn't know his home address. And he said he didn't know that Christopher Steele, the former British intelligence agent that put together the famous made-up dossier about Trump, said he didn't know that Christopher Steele was passing information to Bruce Ohr at the DOJ, who was giving it to the FBI. Now, that's probably a lie. I think most people would think that's virtually impossible. But how do you prove it? You know, his word against, Bruce Ohr is not going to testify and say, oh, yeah, I told Comey. Birds of a feather flocking together and all that. Fox News writing, former FBI Director James Comey claimed, I don't know or I don't remember, in response to dozens of questions concerning key details in the Russia probe. Bob Goodlatte, the House Judiciary Committee Chairman from Virginia, and House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Trey Gowdy published the 235-page transcript as part of an agreement with Comey. The former bureau boss frustrated GOP lawmakers during Friday's session, in large part because his lawyers urged him not to answer numerous questions. Well, you know, national security, and it might reveal sources and methods. No, it wouldn't. Comey is expected to return later in the month, I think the 17th, for another round, though blasted Republicans on his way out for what he called a, quote, desperate attempt to find anything that can be used to attack the institutions of justice investigating the president. Oh, so now he's casting himself as the good guy in this. But while Comey insisted in the interview that we never investigated the Trump campaign for political purposes, that's a good one. The transcript shows he claimed ignorance or memory lapses in response to questions concerning key details and events in the Russia investigation, which many GOP lawmakers continue to believe was improperly conducted. The transcript reveals lawmakers' frustration with Comey's lack of specifics, asked if he recalled who drafted the FBI's initiation document for the July 2016 Russia investigation. Comey said, I do not. He again claimed not to know when asked about his involvement in that initiation of Peter Strzok, whose anti-Trump texts later got him fired from the special counsel's probe. When asked if the FBI had any evidence that anyone in the Trump campaign conspired to hack the DNC server, Comey gave a lengthy answer referring to special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation as to why he couldn't answer. He was afraid he would cross the line, you see, and reveal too much. When pressed further by Gowdy about what factual predicate the Bureau had to launch a counterintelligence investigation, in other words, what real evidence do you have, Comey again claimed that answering that question would be a slope that would ask him to reveal what the FBI did or didn't know about Russia activity as it related to the 2016 election. You can't tell us or you won't tell us, Gowdy asked. Probably a combination of both. To the extent I recall facts developed during our investigation of Russian interference and the potential connection of Americans, I think that's a question that the FBI doesn't want me answering. So it's both a can't and a won't. The former FBI director went on to say that anything related to Mueller's investigation, to his understanding, would be off limits as the investigation is ongoing. Yeah. Going on 2 years down the road now. And what, $39 million to turn up what? To get process crimes on people like General Michael Flynn and Manafort and all the others, whose real crime, of course, is supporting Donald Trump. I think everybody understands casting himself as some paragon of virtue and on a mission to defend democracy reminds me of the old saying that patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. And if there's one thing that Mueller is, it's a scoundrel. Now, nearly every Trump campaign associate indicted in Mueller's Russia probe has been charged with making false statements. These are the so-called process crimes. In a striking contrast, raising questions about a possible double standard. Possible double standard? Not a single person interviewed during the FBI's Hillary Clinton email investigation was hit with false statement charges, even though investigators believed some of those witnesses were lying. James Trustee, a former DOJ senior official, said to Fox News, "Somebody needs to be resolving how they exercise discretion, because a whole bunch of people are facing jail time or flipping in one probe, and the agents openly discussed how other people in the Clinton probe could have been charged with the same offense." Of the six Trump campaign associates charged in Mueller's witch hunt into Russian meddling, five have been charged with making false statements to FBI agents. That is violation of U.S. Code 1001. And that includes George Papadopoulos, former policy advisor, Michael Flynn, Michael Cohen, Trump's former personal attorney, and former associates of Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, Alex Van Der Zwan, and Rick Gates. But according to the report released in June by DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz on the FBI's handling of Clinton's email investigation, federal prosecutors and FBI agents told the independent watchdog that witnesses in the probe lied during interviews, but that agents and prosecutors did not pursue false statements charges. This is, I think, one of the areas where Jerome Corsi, who's suing Mueller for $350 million for prosecutorial misconduct, is a way he can make a case. Look, you handled Hillary's case one way, and you obviously had people lying to you, or you had evidentiary reason to believe they were lying to you, and nobody got charged. They all walked away scot-free. And Flynn and Papadopoulos and Cohen and Manafort and Rick, all these people, they're going to end up going to jail. It's just as bad as the charges from the Southern District of New York prosecutor saying that President Trump violated campaign laws. There's a stark comparison there about how he is being treated in this and how Obama was treated for a much more egregious example of misuse of campaign funds. We'll talk about that when we come right back here on the Bobby Mack Show on Monday. Quarter before four.
What?
Thank you, buddy. 3:50. It is 10 before 4 here on a snowy Monday in the Bobby Mack Show. Skies are going to be clearing overnight, and as they do, temperatures are going to fall pretty dramatically. So obviously, extreme caution will be required in the morning if you're going to be driving to work. The black ice episodes can rear their ugly heads. There was an interesting piece by Andy McCarthy. He's a former federal prosecutor, of course. He's the guy that put away the blind sheikh for the first attack on the World Trade Center Twin Towers in New York. McCarthy writing, I guess this was on Friday, The major takeaway from the 40-page sentencing memorandum filed by prosecutors for Michael Cohen, President Trump's former personal attorney, is this. The president is very likely to be indicted on a charge of violating federal campaign finance laws. I know he's the guy who's a former federal attorney, but the only rationale I can think of for that is that it's part of the Get Trump agenda. Because it's obvious that President Trump is the target of all of these investigations, the one conducted by the SDNY, the Southern District of New York, as well as by Mueller et al. But there's a substantial difference here. For one thing, the president says this wasn't campaign money. For the other, it's not illegal to pay somebody for their silence. It's the same as having a non-disclosure agreement. Limbaugh spoke of this at some length today. In marked contrast, though, when it was discovered that Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign was guilty of violations involving nearly $2 million, an amount that dwarfs the $280,000 in Cohen's case, the Obama Justice Department decided not to prosecute. Instead, the matter was quietly disposed of by a $370,000 fine, $375,000 fine by the FEC, the Federal Election Commission. So there is an obvious difference here in whose ox is being gored. To the phones we go. Jerry is next up. He's in Greenville. Hi, Jerry, and welcome to the Bobby Mac Show.
Thanks, Bobby Mac. First, good news. We've got power on Pelham Road.
Yay!
Hey, it came up about 2 o'clock.
Excellent. Glad to hear it.
Secondly, has anyone ever been convicted by using the defense? I don't know. I can't recall. I don't remember.
Sure. Yeah, if there was enough circumstantial evidence to prove that the individual was being evasive or outright lying, yeah, I would think so.
You know, that's the Hillary defense. Every time she's had to appear before a grand jury, that's her defense. So she's never been charged with anything.
You mean like wipe the computer with a cloth?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't recall. I wrote a book, but I can't recall what I wrote.
Yeah, right.
Comey wrote a book, but he can't remember what it was all about.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what the title was.
So why don't these crooks get charged and put away using that defense?
You know, there was a caller on Limbaugh's show today who said he was kind of frustrated with the president because he hasn't, to use a caller's words, stood up for himself enough. I'm inclined to agree to an extent. I mean, why not just go through and clean out the entire top floor of the DOJ and start over?
I agree.
I mean, Rosenstein's still there. We know that he's involved up to his neck with Mueller and with Comey, even though he wrote the memo to the president suggesting that Comey should be fired. What are these guys still doing there on our dime?
Good question. Now, here's another question. How in the world can Comey use a Department of Justice attorney to defend him?
I guess they're going to claim it's because it still has bearing on an ongoing investigation. That probably is the excuse that they're using.
He's the one being investigated. How can he use his own attorney for the own department that he was working for? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's truly incredible. And when you look at, the same thing they're doing to or attempting to do to Donald Trump with this illegal campaign contribution, they did to Dinesh D'Souza, who's now been pardoned by President Trump, and they put him in jail for a year. And Obama, his campaign, guilty of violations involving $2 million, and he gets to pay a fine and walk away and collect all this money from Netflix and buy a $10 million home in Colorama section of Washington where he can direct all this stuff. Anybody doubt me on that?
Bobby, we have a clear case in this country of dual justice system.
Yes.
And if you're a Democrat, you can get away with murder. And if you're not, you're going to go to jail. And I don't know why anyone that was called to testify in the FBI would ever answer a single question. I wouldn't.
No.
I would not answer a couple, because if you answer two questions, one of them is going to be different from the first one, and they're going to get you for lying.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the so-called process crime. Well, wait a minute. You told an FBI agent back just 6 months ago this, and now you're saying this. You know what? You're lying to the FBI. You're guilty.
It's unbelievable. You look at what Cohen is charged with, lying about a business deal that never materialized.
Right.
The impact, even if you did lie to the FBI, the impact of it is absolutely meaningless because it never happened.
So here's what Mueller has dug up after nearly 2 years and $39 million. He's discovered that Donald Trump is in the business of building hotels. What a revelation.
And what we've discovered is that the Democrat-led DOJ and FBI are a bunch of criminals. And I tell you what, if they ever are successful in getting rid of Donald Trump, there will be a revolution in this country like they can never imagine.
Yeah, you think what happened in Paris over Macron and his climate change taxes was something, it would be 10 times worse here. Jerry, exactly. Thank you very much for the call, sir. I appreciate it, and I share your sentiments. Hour number one has just rolled on past. Hour number two is next here on the Bobby Mack Show on a snowy Monday.